Welcome back, Rock Movers. This is season 6, and it is all about the boys. We've got some amazing guests, so if you're ready, let's start moving some rocks. Hey, Rock Movers, welcome back. Today is going to be amazing because today I get to share the microphone with someone that is a brother from another mother, my dear, dear friend, John Kennedy. John is a number one Amazon International best-selling author. He's been a guest on hundreds of podcasts. He's been a speaker. He's trained the military, leadership, business, sports, mental health conferences. You name it, he's done it. He has created the Combat Brain Training Program. He is an overall brain health expert, a neuroplastician, a process efficiency expert. This man is amazing. He's also worked with my own family, my children, myself, and he's just an overall amazing human. So without further ado, let's officially welcome to the stage and to our show, John Kennedy. Thank you, sir, for being here.
Thanks, Karen, for having me. You know, it's funny. I listen to all the stuff you say. Probably the consistent benefit to me of everyone I work with is the wonderful people I get to meet.
Yeah.
Everyone from military to people to families. And I've just, my life's been enriched by just all the people that I've gotten to know well as I've taken through my program. So that's definitely been a special part of this.
Well, first off, I want people to know that everything you do with such a huge heart. And I think that is probably not specifically the case in science or neuroplasticity, the world, especially because it can get really, you know, analytical and nerdy, and emotions are sometimes detached from that. But you are one of the most generous, kind, loving, sweet humans that I've ever met. We got to spend a really special retreat weekend together and have gone through a year after that retreat. And it's just been such a blessing to see the work that you do, to see the impact that you've had on other people that I know you don't give yourself enough credit for, because you are amazing, highly intuitive, highly intelligent, but you're just an amazing human. So,
well, thank you. Now I'm embarrassed, but thank you so much. You know, but it's true. I think anything we do in life, I think, you know, we can go for ourselves, go for others. And as Zig Ziglar said, you achieve what you want by helping others achieve what they want.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's really what motivates me. I mean, when I work with people and I see the changes that happen in their lives, I mean, total life changes in a very short amount of time, that's what inspires me to keep going.
Yeah. Well, you've made life-changing changes for people. I mean, literal life-changing. And I know your story goes way back, but I'd really like to share, because our podcast is about moving rocks and those big challenges. And the biggest challenge that I see you moving is this idea that our brain is the way it is and we can't change it.
Right.
And
that's not true.
I think that is the biggest rock that you've moved, but I'd love to know your thoughts on that and then how you're helping people move that rock.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. That's true. So for years, that was the belief. Most of brain work was controlled by psychology, and that was pretty much their belief. Mm-hmm. Very instrumental in my journey, and I recommend a book to everybody called The Brain That Changes Itself by Norman Deutsch. That was written back in 2007, and it was that book that actually helped inspire me to develop my first program for the U.S. Marine Corps. And what I realized is our brains pretty much have changed to where they're going to be by the age of 6 or 7. You know, psychologists admit that as well. But basically, from our theory, we get those basic cognitive skills formed by interaction with our environment and modeling from adults. Mm-hmm. Which is why whenever I speak to parents groups, get your kids off the phones, you know, that is not real. You know, that very short very temporary, shallow interface does not build the connections. Uh-huh. You know, you take a couple of kids and put them out in a field with a ball, they'll occupy themselves forever. And in that time, they're building all these different connections that then form the foundation going forward. And so very early on, I discovered that if we can change the core processing ability of the brain, it can impact everything that we do. In fact, the first contract with the Marine Corps, I had two seemingly opposite goals. The first was to improve performance going into combat. So very stressful, right? How do we keep these guys alive? Improve their focus, their anticipation, their intuition. And we found that the same guys who were struggling from the wounds of war, post-traumatic stress, concussions, and so forth, we also significantly accelerated their recovery from that. Again, because everything comes out to our brain. And I've been in conferences where I've had people say, oh, no, we can't improve that part of the brain. And I'm like, yes, we can. I've got proof.
Yeah, right?
And I find that's the biggest. So the biggest message I give people is message of hope. People that are really, really struggling. So many people come to me because the traditional medical approaches are either medication or digital games or long-term, you know, Sudoku or something. Nothing wrong with that, but they want to change their lives quickly. And that's really what I focus on doing for them.
Yeah. And what have you seen difference with the military versus working with the civilians?
Civilians?
Civilians.
That's an interesting question. It's funny. I actually just talked to someone about this the other day. So when I worked with the military, so it was mostly Marines first, but then Navy SEALs, snipers, pilots, really high performers. Right. And I remember one time working with the leadership of a battalion. So these guys were all pretty young, right? 20s, 30s. These are the officers. And they went through the program. They did so well. And then obviously they had to deploy and lead these guys into combat. A couple years later, I was training the C-level of big insurance company in Chicago. Same kind of relative rank, same kind of responsibilities. They didn't take it as seriously as these Marines, right? And so they all got benefits, of course. They all performed better as well. But a good friend of mine, Colonel Jeff Tuggle, one of the colonels that I trained, was part of Marine Special Operations. Yeah. He says the difference between the military and athletes on one side and everybody else, including business on the other, is that military and athletes, they realize that their life really is 95% preparation for 5% execution. Business, it's all about execution, right? 95% execution, they spend 5% preparation. And that's where the results come in different, right? Once you accept that what you have to work at to get to where you want to be makes a big difference on the end results you'll get.
Okay, so kind of what I thought we were going to go at, but that just kind of blew my mind. Because I was thinking there's so much on the line. They're more invested. They're going to take it serious, more serious. They're also held accountable and to a standard. Whereas in corporate or civilians, right, we kind of let ourselves off the hook.
Yeah.
Right. We don't take things as serious. We aren't as disciplined. There isn't as much on the line. So I think that in an essence is the difference between discipline and extreme ownership. I keep using this term over and over again. I don't want to steal it from Jocko Willink, but man, he coined it and I love it. I use it all the time. So kudos, shout out to him. But you know, there's this extreme ownership that happens when there is an elite performer or an Olympian or professional athlete or a military person. There is so much on the line, their livelihood. Why don't we career civilians, you know, out here in the normal workforce, why don't we take it as serious?
I think, as you said, we get passes and we give people passes. You know, one of the Stoics, Archilochus, had a saying that the SEALs have kind of adopted as a motto. And he said, we don't rise to the level of the level of our expectations, we fall to the level of our practice. And that's ingrained in the military, not and athletes. Yeah. But as you mentioned, you know, in the corporate world, you know, we don't get our work done. We don't do this. And I heard a great quote the other day. It said basically self-discipline is the highest form of self-love. Right. Oh. And so when you acknowledge that and you realize that that discipline is what really is going to take care of yourself and help you succeed for yourself and your family, that's a whole different paradigm shift. In fact, it's interesting when people ask me, who do I like to work with? You know, and I work with athletes, kids, it doesn't really matter. To me, what I say is I don't work with comfortable people. If someone is perfectly happy, they get a paycheck, they sit in their cube, their office, they've got a family, they're just fine.
Yeah.
Happy. Live your life happy. It's the ones who are really high performers that want an edge for the people who are really struggling, right? Dementia, strokes, autism, ADHD, and they're motivated to improve their lives. Those are the two areas. The uncomfortable people are the ones that I like to work with.
Because that's kind of where we hit that point of no return, right? We have to make a change. I think that kind of happens in business too, right? Like when you have no safety net, that's when you take action. It's when you have that comfortable safety net that it's easy. Right. Again, you give yourself the pass. So I'm kind of seeing this common thread here. So tell me about like how this has impacted you personally, because you know, people can find your work. I don't want to dismiss that or not get away from it, but I don't think they know John Kennedy, like the John Kennedy I got to sit across from the table at dinner with, and that John Kennedy who just spouted off, I've worked with Navy SEALs and all of these things, like all of these amazing accolades. Yeah. And yet you're this really humble man who has done so much, and yet you're still moving rocks of your own.
Yeah.
And still doing all of this, your own inner work. How do both exist, and what rocks are you moving now so that they can see, okay, he's not just this amazing guy over here. He's actually like this really human person that can relate to everything I'm struggling with. Cause I think that's the part that I want my rock movers to come away with, is that you can be both and.
You know, that's excellent. Thank you for that. I mean, I do. I struggle. We all struggle. You know, I mean, I help people achieve things way beyond they thought they could. And then there's always that letdown for me. I mean, you know, so I think we always struggle. And I think, what's that saying? Those who can't do, teach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I love teaching, I love helping people change in their lives. But again, you know, I have struggles. I'm trying to grow a business. I'm over my head a lot. I've got some phenomenal people who've come alongside me. I have an amazing director of training now, Tim Stewart, who is very, very gifted. And so as I start to build my team, that's really helped fill in some of the areas that I struggle with. Because what I love to do is work with people. That's absolutely the best. And I'd do it for free if I could, right? But I can't. So so that's kind of been one of my struggles. I think it, you know, it just goes back to even, I think all of us are impacted by our parents. I remember my growing up, my dad said, you know, any failure is not, if it's an opportunity to learn, it's not a failure. And I've tried to embrace that a lot. And as a result, I failed a lot. That's how we learn.
Absolutely.
And if I look back over my life, you know, Steve Jobs says you can only connect the dots looking backwards. And sometimes you look ahead and there's a challenge, or you messed up and, oh my goodness, how do I recover? And then a year later, you look back and you see how that, whatever happened at that point, is what helped you achieve where you are now. And so that's been
And you can't necessarily see all that looking forward, right?
Right. You can't. I mean, if you always judge your progress by looking forward, you're never going to achieve all of it, right? But if you look back and see how far you've come.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think, you know, we grew up in a big old house. It was built in 1719 in New York. And my mom, anyone like coming through the church, they needed a place to stay. They came to live with us, right? So we're always having to get along with new people, where there was this kind of this service, underlying service that we grew up with. And I think that's part of what's impacting me as well. I feel really guilty if I'm not helping somebody that I could help.
Yeah, I can see that you're truly just a heart-led servant in all that you do. And I can see how impacting the human brain would be like a natural thing for you because, you know, because you are brilliant and you see how that impacts others. So you really do it to help others, not necessarily yourself. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, and I get help because I help others. But it's interesting you mention that because the brain, when I discovered, and this is, you know, kind of a guy wink where this contract came to for the Marine Corps, because before that I was a process efficiency expert and I worked with really big companies, Motorola, Aon, C-Level. I saved them millions of dollars every year by making things more efficient. And I really liked that challenge and I still want to do that with companies again. But when I had the opportunity to actually create something completely different, which was to take that methodology and apply it to the brain with an opportunity to maybe save lives and help people recover. That was kind of in that constant trying to stretch and learn. I mean, how could we possibly do this? Could it possibly work? And it was worked way beyond what we thought was going to happen. And now the challenge, because I get bored if I do the same thing twice. I mean, it's kind of like my life. And now every single person I work with is different. So that's where that challenge and the creativity comes out to try to help someone different in a new way.
Yeah, I love that. Well, it just makes so much sense for you. So I don't want to reveal all the secrets I know about you because I want people to figure them out too. But you share so much of yourself in all that you do. And in this process that you created for the brain combat brain training, you shared that with my son and I've spoken about him before. I have two sons, but I have one that's special needs and then one that is not special needs, but has some slow sensory processing dexterity issues. Your brain training that you created, which is just so simple yet so ingenious, where did that come from? And how does that play into what you're doing now? With all the other things that you've added to the pot.
So it's
here.
We always grow, right, as we learn. And so to me, again, make processes more efficient. And I mean, I go head to head against big consulting firms, and simple is the best. Mm-hmm. And so those exercises, as you remember, they're so simple. And the goal is to give the brain something very simple to do, but then make it work harder. Uh-huh. And we work, it's not a digital program. Digital doesn't really work. It's analog. And so every time we make it harder, we're bringing more parts of the brain and more connections and stronger. And our brains, based on neuroplasticity, will change fastest where they struggle the most. That's where we get such amazing improvements with ADHD and strokes and different things. Our brains will rewire around the damage. So that was the basic. And then from there, what I did was I realized, you know, when we engage the whole body in something, the brain changes very quick. So that kind of migrated to my Hack Any Habit in 30 Minutes, the same approach. I mean, there's all kinds of great books about habits, right? You know, typically they say 30 days to 6 weeks to change a habit. Well, I can help people, and I have, change a habit in 30 minutes. Or less, actually less. And then bringing the process piece back into that for organizations, it's all the same, right? It's just the scale, brain, personal, and then corporate. It's that same desire to be simple. And it's that simplicity that makes it so effective, I think.
And coming from the background that you came from with a heart-led, you know, desire to serve and with a mom who was much like my mom, she gathered people up and helped and did all that. What do you see next for you? How are you going to continue to live out this passion and this purpose in all the things that you do and people that are looking at you and seeing, okay, I'm not sure how that applies to me. How can they get to know you better? Because I want I want to people to come away from this going, oh, okay, I know who John is and I know how to work with him.
Well, it's interesting. So the main thing, so my work for this year is scale. I need to scale. I mean, 100%, I mean, thousands of people we've helped, but yeah. I've been the limitation. So Tim now is helping a lot. I've developed a certification program. So I've certified some psychiatrists so they can help their, you know, patients. They call
them
patients.
Congratulations. I didn't realize you'd already done that.
Yeah,
awesome.
Because they don't, I mean, they're tired of just giving medication, which is what psychiatrists do, which is tragic. I've trained a number of business coaches and certified them so they can add it to their program. We've trained athletic coaches. So what I really want to do this year is to build out that certification process. I even had a woman who got certified so she could work with her family, right? So the exercise, like everything else, there's art and science. There's the exercise, which you saw, which is the science. The art part is knowing when to adjust them to take feedback, which is the interesting part for me, from people while they're doing them and then adjust them constantly. So there's not a big, some of these programs have these big assessments to determine where you're struggling and that's where they're going to target. We don't have that, right? I mean, as long as you can do very simple things, we can improve your brain. So part of it is just getting the word out there, trying to help more people, get more hope with people, certify more people. We have a video series and an online program we're working on. Needs a ways to go, but that would be another way to help people. So the only part about that, I love doing this because my goal, I got to stop, I can help thousands of people, right? But I like doing it so much. It means I'm certifying someone else to do it. I'm not doing it, but that's okay.
Oh, you got to let go of control?
Control, no. But also the joy of doing it. So
the hands-on,
The hands-on. So I'm kind of, I have a kind of a delivery pyramid I'm working on. And at the top is me, because I've done this the longest. And I want to work with really high performers, like business people, professional athletes, what I do. And then also people really struggling at the other end. And anytime someone will come to me, I mean, I've got a young woman now with cerebral palsy who hasn't been able to walk in 6 years. And after a little while, now she can move her feet, right? So now she has the hope that maybe she can walk.
Wow. So we're getting
a young man with cerebral
again.
Palsy. And it's just, that's the inspirational stuff, right? Who could not use his hands after a couple of weeks. Now he can use his hands. Or a young boy with ADHD, who this is really, to me, was cool because very
bright.
This is
one of my favorite stories. I think that you're going to tell my
story. I mean, so very bright, right? ADHD, failing at school, out of control, right? Started working with them. After three sessions together, and we did it with his dad, which was kind of fun, both together. He got his first A ever. About 5 or 6, weeks later, he got student of the month. And the most amazing thing was about a couple weeks later, his grandmother, who I was helping with her dementia, was at his birthday party and said he was a completely different child. I mean, he sat down with her, read a book to her. So to me, we've completely changed his life, the trajectory of his life. And so I like to work with people like that, but I can certify others. So if I do the really challenging people and then, can just train other people to help the people in their lives that are important to them, that's I think, what the focus will be this year.
So if someone's listening to this struggling to be focused or struggling with focus, they're distracted, they're overwhelmed, they're having a hard time getting over bad habits, right? New year, we're starting off with, creating new habits, but maybe they can't stay with that. Where should they start with your programs or your offerings?
Well, probably reach out to us and we can set up a time. We have a video series, which is a foundational, kind of a basic one that some people can do. We actually developed it for Southern Utah University. I did a bunch of programs there and then they produced this video series. So we can put that out there. Or just reach out, send us an email. We're in the process of rebranding and rebuilding out the website. If they go to the combatbraintraining.com website, it's just a placeholder. But my email's there, and there's a way to set up a Zoom meeting. We have the mentalperformanceinstitute.org, where there's some information there. So probably in the next month or so, we should have everything much better as a way of reaching out, but they can just email me anytime.
Okay.
And they can talk to me or they can talk to Tim, and we can set up a program for them to get the help they need. And that's individuals and companies and teams, but also we work a lot with families. It's great for families because the parents do it, the kids do it, everybody gets better, and then they have a fun, engaging activity they can do on their own, you know, every day if they want.
I love it. So it's 25. So let's say it's 2030.
Okay.
And we're looking at John Kennedy's impact on the world.
Wow.
What do you want that to be? That rock,
that
those rocks that you've moved and you're sitting in the future looking back. What's
happened
for you?
You know, it's a good question. I think, so one of the things that means a lot to me is every once in a while I get an email telling people how to help their lives. That one of my all-time favorite clients who was in a coma for 4 months, started working with her. I just got an invitation to her wedding. So these are the kind of things that mean a lot to me. So 5 years from now, I find people that just, you know, hey, you changed my life, you know, and, you know, come speak for us or hang out with us or, you know, just, I would feel great to have, you know, that reciprocity because I've already built out the program to help so many people. I don't have a, someone said you should have a number of people you want to help by the end of the year. And I haven't done that yet. I don't know how, if that's a goal I'll do or not. But the what best thing is when I work with people, like I do business conferences and they all perform better. But I also show them how they can do it with their families. And that's also rewarding. I got an email, hey, I started doing exercises with my family. They love it. Kids are doing better in school. So it's really just about spreading this whole new paradigm about how we can change our brains quickly.
In 5 years, what if your message has been all across the entire United States and now you're sharing it from the White House?
That would be great. Yeah.
How cool would that be?
Yeah. You know, I often think how much I'd like to improve the mental performance of our politicians. So maybe that'd be a challenge, right? Maybe that would be the
Wow. Talk
the
about
goal.
Talk about a big goal. That would be that would be changing, for sure. Not that we all don't need it, but man, those who serve certainly do.
Yeah.
So if you had just a couple minutes left to share your message or impart some kind of wisdom, what would you share with those listening?
You know, I get asked that sometimes, and I think the main message I want to give is just one of hope.
Hmm.
Again, those people that try so hard and they just can't get to where they want to, or the ones who are going through, you know, treatment, you know, whether it's ADHD or strokes or whatever it is, dementia, and they really feel like there's no hope there, I want to give them hope because we've been able to help people like that, and there is hope that they can improve. I mean, everything we do really passes through our brain. I recently, just as a kind of a study, took 12 different people I work with that I've been struggling with, everything from dementia to anxiety to ADHD. We do a baseline every time we meet of processing speed. And over 5 weeks, there's a direct correlation between that processing speed and real world improvements. And that's just a message of hope to me, because wherever you're struggling, we can improve, help you. You do the work, but we can help you improve to a point beyond where you thought you were before. And no medication, right? No medication. It's not hard work. It's fun. So I think a message of hope would be the message.
I love that. The Kennedy Hope Center. I love that.
There you go. I like that. Maybe that'll be the new one.
Well, feel free to use that one. I just have been so honored to get to know you over the last year or so and to see the impact that you've had on our small group that we work together with.
That
was and then
great.
Also just in the circles that we're in together. We're in some of the same networks, and you're so well respected, and rightly so. You do so many good things. that it's just an honor to share you with my world and for people to know that this kind of hope is available. And not only that, but who to go to trust to get that support. So thank you for sharing that with my audience and my world. And I can't wait to connect them and get your message out there so that they can get a little bit of that Kennedy combat training goodness and all of the things. But just grateful for you, John. It's been been fun having the conversation. I appreciate you coming on here. And I'm just excited to see what you and Tim and your team are putting together, because I know it's going to be amazing. And I'm happy to share it. We'll put in all the additional links. So just check the links in this episode. You'll be able to contact John and get connected to the team to get support and help and hope for your brain. So as you're moving those rocks, just know that you don't have to do them alone. You've got people like John Kennedy on your side to help you move them. Thanks again, Rock Movers. We'll see you on the next episode. Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did, and I hope that you got something super valuable. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to the Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there. And I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.